Good afternoon to everybody that's joining us for the call this afternoon. We'll probably get started here in about 10 minutes. If you're having any issues, please let me know. I have some technical things that I need to do on this end, so I'll be in and out, but just let us know if there's something we can do. And please mute your phones. Hey, Rachel and Matt, when you guys jump on, will you let me know so I know that everything is good on your end?
I'm here.
Yay. Do you have any, are you going to use the presenter tools at all, or you, do you have any visuals?
I don't have any visuals, no.
Okay, great.
Those of you that are joining us for the webinar this afternoon will probably get started here at exactly 4 o'clock Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern, and all of the other time zones that you may in the beginning of the next 6 minutes. Those of you that are joining us online, you should be able to see my screen in the front page that has an audio number. Obviously, if you can hear me, you know what that audio number is. If you're experiencing any issues, just let me know, and we'll get started here momentarily. And Rachel, when you're on, can you just give me a shout and let me know? All those of you that are just joining us, we're going to get started here in a few minutes. Rachel, when you jump on, will you give me a shout so I know that you're with us? And Olivia and Nick, are you both on as well?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, and you guys are all set?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Good afternoon to those of you that are joining us. We're going to get started here with the webinar and just about 3 or 4 minutes. Rachel, when you jump on, will you let me know so I don't have to worry about you? Those of you that are just joining us this afternoon, we're going to get started here with the Creating a Successful Student Teaching Experience webinar in about 3 minutes. Our presenters today are Mr. Matthew Eddy and Mrs. And so those of you that are joining us for that, you are in treat. Rachel, when you jump on and get on the audio piece, will you just give me a shout so I know? Her goat got out again. Good afternoon to everybody that's clicking in and logging in as we are rolling here for the Creating a Successful Student Teaching webinar experience. We're going to get started here in about 2 or 3 minutes. If you are having any technical issues, certainly let me know, and I'll do my best to act like I know what I can do to help you. We're going to get started here in about 2 minutes. Rachel, have you jumped on yet? Good afternoon to those of you that are just clicking on, and I apologize to those of you that keep hearing me say this, but we are getting the Creating a Successful Student Teaching webinar experience webinar here momentarily. Hopefully you were able to log in online, although I think you will be okay if you're not. It might be all audio at this point anyway. So if you're having any issues, let me know. Rachel, when you get on, will you give me a shout?
I'm going to let a whole bunch of these clicks come through, and then I'll go ahead and do my spiel again.
Hello?
Hey, good afternoon, those of you that are just joining us for the webinar. If you're just jumping on, we're just about ready to get started. We're going to get 1 minute. I'm sure there'll be a lot of click in and beeps. I will ask all of you that are on right now, and I'll mention it a couple of other times, to make sure that you mute your phone so that we don't have what we have right now, which is unwanted background noise. Is anything going on around you, we can all hear it. I won't even go into some of the things that we've heard on other webinars, so please don't be that person. Rachel, have you jumped on the call yet? So we're going to go ahead and get started here in just about a minute. We'll have probably about 30 or 40 people online, and then I know that there'll be a bunch joining just the audio piece as well. So we're going to get started here in the next few moments. I'm going to wait for a big onslaught of clicks, and then we'll go ahead and get rolling. Rachel, if you are on, please just give me a shout so I know that you're with us.
Hey, Ellen, can you hear me? This is Daniel Foster.
I can.
Do you publish a list of participants?
No, I don't.
Okay. I encourage some individuals to attend, and I was just kind of like following up on them.
That's between you and them. I won't tell their secrets if they don't tell mine.
Okay.
I'll be sending out. I'll talk about it. Rachel, when you jump on, will you give me a shout? We're going to go ahead and proceed. Matthew, you may have to step in if she's had something come up. So that you're up to the task, though. If anyone are. So let's go ahead and get started because we have some really wonderful things to cover today, and I know that you will all be information that will be shared with you. So just a couple of real brief housekeeping sorts of things. Just a reminder to everyone except the presenters, if you could please, please, please mute your phones. That is imperative that you do so. Otherwise, this will be a very painful webinar for all of us. So please take a minute and mute your phones. We will not be using the webcam feature today. We'll be using the webinar system because it works out nicely for us. And then me saying this, you're aware of the audio features. There are a couple of different chat features on the webinar system that allow you to interact so that if you don't want to interrupt, you can ask questions over there, but we'll also open it up at the very end for any questions that you may have. So please make sure that you write any questions that you have down so that you remember them and be sure to ask them. So we're going to go and both of our presenters share some information, and then we'll open it up to you. And the purpose of today's webinar is to provide student teachers with some tips from operating teachers who have had many student teachers share kind of what they would tell their student teachers to help them be successful. This webinar is a first of many in a series of webinars that will be offered by the National Teach Ag Campaign and hosted by our Teach Ag Ambassadors. And I'll introduce them now, Ms. Olivia Steckler from Purdue University and Mr. Nick Adams from Louisiana State are the ambassador hosts for today. So I'll turn it over to them to introduce our presenters today.
So Matt Eddy grew up on a diversified farm in Iowa. He attended Iowa State University, majoring in agriculture education, degree in 1999, and a master's in 2008. He is currently in his 17th year of teaching and has spent the past 12 years at Southeast Polk Community School District, where he has helped assemble one of Iowa's largest FSA chapters. Matthew is a CASE-certified master teacher and will hold certifications in AFNR, animal science, plant science, and biotechnology. He also does lead teacher work by instructing curriculum institutes to train other agriculture teachers on the CASE curriculum. Matthew has secured funding of over $2.5 million for Iowa agriculture programs adopting the case model. Matthew raises awareness for his profession through his blog, A Day in the Life of an Ag Teacher, on NAAE Communities of Practice, as well as Twitter, at AgEd. His wife, Carol, is a principal, and his four children seem to keep him busy at home in Pleasant Hill, Iowa. He has had a total of 9 student teachers, 5 in the last 7 semesters.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I think we're going to do Rachel's introduction, too, though.
Okay, great.
All right. So Rachel is coming to us from New Richmond High School.
Hey, the beeping, I don't understand what that is. It's pissing me off.
She's been teaching for 17 years, and she had the ability to design her own ag program, which now includes an aquaculture lab, a large and small animal learning center, a large commercial greenhouse, and here in the near future, she's hoping to obtain a 20-acre farm. These facilities are allowing Ms. Savola to provide her students with the best learning experiences, and her students with this are able to teach the community members how to grow food, and they are also making plans to raise cattle and supply their school district with the beef that they need. On top of this, she teaches about 15 different classes depending on the student interest for that year. And Ms. Savoia believes that her student success is, believes in her student success, and she is willing to do whatever she can to help her students succeed. She believes in building relationships with her student teachers and others who ask for help. This special quality aids her in her current position as an agri-science ambassador through NAAE. Please help me give a warm welcome to Ms. Rachel Savoia.
And just a reminder to everyone to please mute your phones if you've not done so already. That's critically important. And the platform is yours, Mr. Eddy.
All right. Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Very well, yes. Excellent, actually.
Speakerphone thing running, so I don't get to use it very often, so we'll see how it works.
Good.
Yeah, I really have been fortunate, I guess, to have a lot of student teachers. I live within a reasonably decent distance to Iowa State University, and so I think it becomes a nice place for kids that want to get away from Ames a little bit, but also don't want to go too far. And so my school has about 2,100 kids in the high school. We're in an area that is rural, urban, suburban, acreage. We pretty much have it all. It's a fairly diverse land area, but, you know, the kids are all my program is one of the things I wanted to make sure was I had kids that were worthy to come into the program and, you know, allow a student teacher to have a good experience. So I'll dive right into some of my stuff. One of the things I always talk to my student teachers about is I'm really more concerned about their classroom management than I am about their content knowledge. I really could care less about their content knowledge. That's something that I'll talk about a little bit later. But their ability to get along with kids, their ability to come in and kind of be personable and talk with students and kind of develop those relationships and kind of get a feel for, you know, and even talk to me and get to know what we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish as a program, those are the things I'm really more worried about when a student teacher comes in. Again, I really think that you got to have a growth mindset. You really have to be willing to come in and learn as much as you can, as fast as you can. Some people like to talk about drinking from a fire hose, but, you know, it really kind of comes out to one of those things. It can be a really great experience for you if you really take the time to learn and absorb as much as you possibly can. And jumping into my second piece was that even if you learn it 10 minutes before the kids, you teach it to the kids, that still counts. Okay? And one of the things I really, really try to impress upon students is it's not so much what you know, but it's how you develop that relationship with the kids. And so, like I said before, I don't really care about the content knowledge. You have to have some content knowledge, but it really delves down into you really have to be able to classroom persona. And sometimes I kind of use the example of my student teachers of a comedian going on stage. And, you know, a comedian is probably not funny all the time in their real life. You know, they probably walk around and they drink coffee and they read the paper and they do other stuff, you know. And they're probably normal people. But when they hit the stage, there's a little bit of a switch that they got to flip in order to jump up and kind of draw some attention, command some presence, and be able to. I've had student teachers that come in that were very quiet and weren't sure, and I'm like, you know, you have to kind of be able to command the room a little bit. And you know, you don't necessarily have to be loud and obnoxious and boisterous or like me or anything like that. It's just you do have to be able to command the room, and that kind of goes back to the first point of being able to manage the classroom. I really try to encourage my student teachers. I really like it when they take initiative, especially when the first, you know, first couple of weeks kids come out from Iowa State. They're, you know, I really just kind of say, hey, hang out, kind of get a feel for the place, just kind of watch and observe and, you know, that sort of thing. And I actually had one a couple of times, this was the last time, that did a really nice job of really just didn't sit there. But as I was walking around and moving around the room, he would mirror me. And I don't know if he really did it on purpose or if he did it because it was accidental or he just didn't want to stand next to me or whatever, but there was some really neat things that he was able to do because he was on the opposite side of the room as I was. And so I was working with some kids on one side, and he might have been working with some kids on the other side. And so even though you're not teaching, you're not in charge of the class, there's still a lot of things that you can do to be involved and be engaged, and maybe even not just sitting there, you know, staring off into space, I guess. One of the other things that I found some trouble with, but I really try to encourage kids, you know, you should be doing a lot of reading on your own. And hopefully, if you're coming from some universities, I know you're getting prepared well, Penn State. But I also know that, you know, sometimes kids come to me and they don't have a very good understanding of things that are currently buzzing around the world of education right now. Standards-based grading, inquiry-based instruction, CASE, what is the CASE program? Being familiar with STEM and what are all the science standards that we probably could teach through agriculture. Those types of things, along with some project-based learning, those are things that if you're not very familiar with, you need to get familiar with them quickly. High schools, some are not very well, are not very far into it, but there are other high schools, depending on where you go, that are very far into it. And if you aren't up to speed on those things, you kind of get left behind pretty fast. And I know that administrators are always looking, at least in my school district, and then in my wife's a principal in her school district, they're always looking to hire student teachers, because in a big school district, you know, we have that opportunity to get to know you a little bit, get a feel for you, see how you react with the kids, and it's almost like an internship. And so large schools sometimes will try to make some room for you. Now, in agriculture, it's a little different than if you're teaching math or science, but it really is kind of the same process, though. And then probably my last thing before I maybe open it up, and maybe if there's some questions, or if you have some questions, you can put them on that little webinar question thing. But really this job is 90% how you deal with kids, and how you get along with students, how you get along in the classroom, how you're able to make those relationships, those connections, in order to get students to learn and to participate in your classroom and not have them disengage or even worse, cause you trouble. That's really the main focus of this gig. The other 10%, however, is the 10% that drives you right up the wall. And really you have to remember that when you're having times of trials and tribulations, to remember to focus back on the students and focus back on why you're doing what you're doing. Because, again, that's 90% of what this gig is all about. The other 10% again, like I said, the other 10% is just stuff that's outside of your control. It's probably outside of your realm of influence even, and all it's going to do is cause you nothing but heartache. So work with the kids day to day. Again, develop those relationships. Those are a lot of the things. I tell my students, you're paying for the experience. So make it what you want. Tell me what you want. As a cooperating teacher, I want to hear feedback on what did you like, what did you not like. I mean, you can tell me what you don't like. That's fine. You know, we may have to frame it carefully, but tell me what you want to improve on. What would you like to work on? I always try to make sure that I film kids so that they watch themselves on tape, you know. And so that really kind of alleviates a lot of some of the things that they kind of idiosyncrasies that we come across. But there's a lot of neat things in there of being able to tell your cooperating teacher, what are your goals? What do you want out of this experience? If you don't know anything about a greenhouse and I've got a greenhouse and say, hey, one of my goals is I want to be able to go out of here being able to run that greenhouse from day one when I go to another school. And so, again, that helps me narrow in on what are some things you feel you need help in, and maybe what are some strengths that you think you bring to the program as well. So work on the weaknesses, improve your strengths, make the experience what you want to be, because, again, you're paying for it. So I really enjoy having student teachers, and so with that, this is about 8, 9, 10 minutes. I'll open it up for some questions if there are some.
I think we're going to do questions at the end.
Oh, all right.
Together.
Well, let me throw in there then that a lot of things that come into teaching are so situational with your school district. You know, it's hard to throw out blanket statements on how do you deal with discipline or how do you handle the money or what do you do with this situation or that situation. So the biggest thing you need to do is get with your cooperating teacher and really become familiar with what does that school district do. And realize that when you go get a job and it's in a different school district, they're probably going to do things differently. And there's not really right or wrong in it. It's just they're going to have their own little set of and procedures that you're going to need to be able to become familiar with. And so that's always really kind of a big thing about the first year is trying to make sure you get the lay of the land ahead of time. So, you know, I really enjoy having student teachers. Once they get the full load, I usually let them go as long as they want, and then we try to kind of back them out towards the end and kind of make sure that they're done with all their paperwork and everything before they leave me and head back to the university for their last meetings and graduations and whatnot. I guess the other thing is just try to make sure that you're using the time appropriately and remember that you're not the kids. That's always one of the tough things for my student teachers to try to get that realize that they are not they're not part of the high school students. They're not, you know, you're not friends with them. Be friendly, but you're not friends with them, and that sometimes takes a little bit of time in order to kind of get a feel for where those boundaries are, and that's going to be different for everybody. But you have to decide kind of where that's going to be for you. You know, I've never had trouble giving my kids my cell phone number. But I know some people that they would never give out their cell phone number if you held them at gunpoint. And it's really just a personal preference thing and how you handle it. So I guess with that, I'll probably turn it back over to you. And is Rachel on the line?
Yes.
I'm here.
Awesome. All right, well, my time's up. Tip your wait staff, I'm here all week.
All right.
All yours, Ms. Savala.
Thank you, Ellen. Well, I am very happy to be here with you to talk about the student teaching experience. I think I have to back up the train a little, though, and let you know that I started out my teaching career as an intern teacher. And if any of you are ever given that opportunity in your state to physically fill out an application, go through an interview, and go ahead and accept an intern position, I highly, highly recommend that. I had three classes that were mine from the get-go, and one of them had no curriculum. And so I was writing and working alongside Lisa Conkle at Bigfoot High School, who was my cooperating teacher, and definitely learned a ton from her way back then. So I'm in my 17th year of teaching, and my community has about 900 students in our high school. And like my introduction said, we did just build a new high school 6 years ago, and I got to design my own facility. And with that, I've truly created my own beast. I have way more work here than one woman can do, especially when you consider that I'm allergic to plants and animals. And so really, I could benefit from some fabulous student teachers. I have had five in my past, and I'm looking forward to more in the future. But I think we have to start with those of you that are in college, establishing relationships with teachers on the front line. I made it a rule several years ago after having a negative student-teacher experience that anyone who's going to join me here in my classroom needs to come in as a student observer, needs to teach a few practice lessons while in college, and get to know my students, work with me, work with my students, so I can make sure that you are a good fit here in this program and a good fit with me. And so I think when a teacher on the front lines invites you as a collegiate pre-service teacher into a classroom to use our students as guinea pigs, mine were guinea pigs today for a pre-service teacher from UW River Falls. They love that opportunity because of the culture I've created in the classroom, and they love being able to give somebody who's a future teacher some real-life feedback. As a kid, it would have been great if you would have done this, or you did a really great job at this. And so develop those relationships with the teachers on the front line and the students beforehand, and it's going to make your experience that much richer when you can really do so. Volunteer to do some FFA things. Volunteer to do some of the citizenship projects that the local chapter might have going on. So, and that kind of leads into then when you are chosen to be a student teacher and come into my classroom, I want to develop a partnership with you. I want to stand before the students as a united front. I don't want there to ever be an opportunity where the student comes and says, well, Miss So-and-so said this, and you're saying this. No, it's not top. It is Mrs. Selvila and whoever is my sidekick doing what's best for kids always. And so with that partnership comes, of course, the respect feature. You as an incoming student teacher are coming into our space and using our resources, participating in our network. Excuse me. And so definitely make sure that, you know, I have a very open door policy in using materials, but you know what? One of my student teachers used the last of something, you know? And then when you go to use it again, there's nothing there. That's a real big pet peeve. I also understand that you are learning and communication, asking questions. You won't even know what you don't know until you get here. And in fact, you'll realize how much you really don't know. Because let's be honest, our collegiate experiences more often than not, and again, a huge shout out to my friends at Penn State because you're doing it, don't really prepare us for the real world of teaching. So we've got to figure it out together. And that's why I like to have my student teachers show me the lessons. I've had student teachers who have tried to teach my students misinformation. And since I've been doing this for 17 years, I've got the content down pretty well. So let me check it over and give you some helpful suggestions on how to make it relevant to kids. One of the most important things, too, for me in that relationship development with this person who's coming in to teach my kiddos is that every day we communicate what went well, what needs improvement, and how will you make that improvement happen? What is your action plan? And so we sit down and have a conversation about that. I think all of us in the ag teacher world struggle with that concept of work-life balance. Oh, excuse me again. You need to understand, as my student teacher or as a person entering that field, more often than not, your cooperating teacher, in my case, I typically work from 7:15 to 5:30 or 6 here in my classroom, and I leave with just my purse. You, in your capacity as a student teacher, are either going to stay here and get your work done, or you're going to take a bag home. And I know my last student teacher was very envious of me leaving with nothing, and she would be leaving or staying later than me. Well, again, sunshine, I've been at this a lot longer, and when I leave this place, I have a 3-year-old and a 9-year-old, and I'm a mom. And so we have to begin separating that out. And again, mastering that concept of time management when we are at the job. So that is one of the big things that I know has been in my situations. I think also, as a teacher, Matt mentioned the content. And here again, I don't think that our collegiate levels are necessarily preparing our kids to be teachers in the physical sense of, in college, we get PowerPoints and we take notes and we do that. Well, you're missing the hands-on piece that are going to engage the students, that are going to get the students coming through your door continually so that you have membership in your classes and a job for the coming years. So we need to get less spoon-feeding happening in our lessons right out of the gate and more thinking of you as the teacher and the facilitator of learning. One of the things also that I want you to work on, if you're a student teacher or a pre-service teacher listening to this call, is to practice your questioning skills. That's one of the things also that I have noticed in the student teachers that I've had, is they don't know how to ask questions. Matt alluded to the fact that all school districts have their things. Well, more often than not in today's society, one of those things, especially here at New Richmond High School, is the concept of higher order thinking. How can we get kids stretching themselves and learning more, gaining more? And so we as the teachers and the facilitators of learning have to be able to ask very pointed questions that are synthesizing and gathering the information together and then projecting other things from that. And again, Matt mentioned inquiry-based learning. He mentioned project-based learning. And all of those things are going to do that. So definitely have that in your toolbox. The other thing that I just want to point out is, I've been doing this for 17 years, but I want to learn from you just as you want to learn from me. And so what can you do for your student-teacher, your cooperating-teacher relationship? What can you do to leave a legacy at that school, to have something positive, to do something positive, to start something that's going to still continue after you've gone? So think about what that could be as well for your particular situation. Let's see. Also, Matt alluded to, I made a couple of notes, being engaged in the process. The very first day, we go through when my student teachers come, and we talk about the expectations with the kids. And we make it very pointed to let them know, again, about that good cop, bad cop relationship, that we're going to stand united. And sometimes, for me, standing united is difficult because I don't always agree with the classroom management decisions that that student teacher made. But again, at the end of the day, when we reflect on what went well, what needs improvement, I can hopefully steer that person and coach that person and mentor that person into making different decisions that will better the learning environment for all. Dig in. You're here. The observing was for college courses. Yes, it's nerve-wracking. Yes, you're coming into somebody else's space. But by all means, dig in, because that's what we do in agriculture. We're movers, we're shakers, we're difference makers. And so as we think about those things, that's not sitting on the sidelines. That's being involved and engaged. I also really like what Matt said about letting your cooperating teacher know what your goals are. If there's something that you've noticed, or maybe the student teaching experience has something with it that you want to investigate more, we don't know that unless you communicate. If you maybe don't come from a strong FFA background, being in charge of more FFA events and taking a lead on those to help you learn how those work, that would be a fabulous goal. So communicate and let us know, because we know you're learning. You're learning how to do this gig, and it's not easy every day. But I oftentimes have people say to me, you make this look easy. Well, it wasn't always like that. It comes with time and experience and, again, commanding the room from the get-go. You have to remember that when you come out of the college experience, in my case, I was 22 years old, so I was just 4 years older than those kids. And so commanding the room and making sure that you don't cross that line between teacher and friend, and maintaining that authority. So those are my notes, Ellen. I'm ready for questions.
Let's do it. There are two that are on online here. So one of the questions is, what types of activities or events outside of classroom instruction do you believe student teachers should be involved in or experience during the student teaching experience?
I guess I'll go first, Matt. One of them, I think, definitely is, of course, the FFA engagement and involvement. And our student teachers are going to come to us as cooperating teachers, again, with all different levels. But I think that some of those FFA events, getting you in tune with community partnerships, and those sorts of things, where we can teach you as a student teacher how to interact with the community, and showing you around and showing you different resources. One of the most valuable things that happened for me when I came to town is that the retiring teacher that I took over for went around town and introduced me to key players and key businesses and supporters in the community. And so I really want to experience that with my student teacher too, because they're always hearing about me for that semester, talking about these particular people in the community. And if they can match the face and the business and all of that together, that makes them a key community collaborator too. So I think those are valuable things, along with the citizenship and leadership that you're teaching and communicating with both our student teachers and our students.
I would agree. I would just say that, you know, participate in as many things as you possibly can. And whether that means that you have, you know, whether it's before school, after school, try to make yourself available for those things. And on the flip side, to be real honest, you know, I can give you the cliff notes of a meeting if you've got something else going on as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you just need to have some that is good to experience. And there, you know, again, some other things that you could probably say, ah, you know what, just give me the ins and outs of that, because when I move on, I'm going to do this in my own community, but I don't need to know Bob down at the hardware store, because I'm going to meet Larry who does the hardware store over in my community. So, again, I like getting out there and doing that as much as you can.
I also think it factors into the time management piece, because when you move to your community, you're going to be expected to do all of that stuff, you know, and you've got to set your boundaries as well when you move to a new community. However, there are some of those things that are just expectations of the ag teacher in a community. Ellen, is there a second question?
Yes, sorry. It's me. I was muted. So the next question is, do you have any best practices for engaging while observing, not teaching? So what are the things that they could be doing? You talked a little bit about it, Matt, are there any other suggestions that you have for them while they're not teaching but to be actively engaged in the classroom?
Mirroring is one of my favorites, and again, that was kind of a total accidental find, I think, a little bit. You know, I'm not really very big on just having them grade papers or that sort of thing. I mean, for a little bit, yeah, but the best thing you can do is be a part of the class, talk to the kids when I'm not talking to them or engaged with them. Finding yourself in the lab and find out where all of my stuff is hidden, where it's placed where it's supposed to be. So spending your time familiarizing yourself with the area, the facilities, making sure you know where the copy machine is so that when I hand you something and say I need 25 copies, go, you can find that pretty easily. Maybe even making sure you introduce yourselves to the secretary so at least you know which one, in my case, which one's Marla and which one's Carol, because when I send you with a PO, you got to go to the right one, you know. And so just a lot of familiarizing yourself and again, observing, maybe even helping the students. I had one student teacher that liked to help set up labs ahead of time. You know, I would be teaching one class, they would set up the lab for the next class. And so that allowed them to find all of my materials and make sure that things were all set up, and it saved me from having to do that at some other time. So, you know, there's just a lot of things you can do to observe and help with that.
I would also echo the familiarizing yourself with the materials, because ultimately that's going to lead to your independence as a teacher in my room with a full load. I oftentimes hear from my student teachers, because I get them keys so that they have a key to the copy room, a key to the classroom, a key to the back door, and the shed outside and all of those things, so that they can be a real true blue teacher and not always asking me, can I borrow your keys? And so with that comes the independence to actually do and be the agri-science instructor in that role. So definitely we want to foster that independence as well.
Okay, here is the next question. We have a lot of questions, so keep that in mind. So here's the question. One of the participants is nervous that the seniors will not like them because when they were freshmen, they had a bad student teaching experience. How do you get students on your side and build a positive relationship with them? And that's the question.
You know, I think, again, back to, you know, you can't be friends with them, but that doesn't mean you can't be friendly. And, you know, I kind of used the Roadhouse example before. You just got to be nice. And you can even ask somebody to leave, but you can be nice. You know, and I think that's kind of one of the best things to try to develop that relationship, you know, and maybe explain that, hey, I know maybe you guys didn't have a great experience a few years back, but this is a different deal. And high school kids sometimes are good about that, and sometimes they have to be reminded that, you know, this is a new experience and I have to roll with it and give it a chance rather than judge it by my past experiences.
Yeah, I would say that's true too, and I would also say part of it comes from the culture that you have cultivated in the classroom before the student teacher arrives. You know, if you do some summer things, let's say you're a fall student teacher and you get involved and you get to know some kids at a summer event, those kids that you get to know are going to be your allies in the classroom, because the other students will see that you have already established a relationship. And again, Matt says be friendly and get to know the kids genuinely. Come to sporting events with the kids if they're into sports, or go to the school play and see the kids in a different light. We just had Cinderella here this weekend, and the kids were like, oh my gosh, Mrs. Selvela, it's so good to see you. I guess they didn't think I was a cultural experienced lady, but I really am. I loved it, you know, and so they love to see us at those kinds of events too, and so making that a part of our life is important.
Let's see. What are some good sources to become more knowledgeable and comfortable with inquiry and project-based learning?
keeping in mind this would be for student teachers or pre-service teachers. What can they do to broaden their inquiry and project-based learning repertoire?
I can go first. I would definitely say that there are some fabulous resources. We put on workshops for pre-service teachers at NAAE activities. There was some work done at National Convention, wasn't there, Ellen?
Correct, yes.
In that way. So always be looking for professional development in any way, shape, or form that you can get it. And if you prove to your school district that you're utilizing the stuff that you went away to learn, they will let you continue to go. And so I think reaching out and taking advantage of the things that NAAE has to offer us, as well as our state associations. I became an ambassador with the DuPont program and the AgriScience materials, and reaching out to teachers who are ambassadors for NATAA and asking them questions and forming some lessons, asking, you know, if you have a lesson, how can I make this more inquiry-based? Asking teachers with experience. That's part of our job, to mentor and to coach you to get to understand all of those levels of inquiry. And not every lesson has to be inquiry-based, but it's a spectrum of things. And so we can teach you and help you with that. And certainly PJ Simon and the folks at DuPont have a goal of getting more people trained as ambassadors in inquiry education. And so that you'll be hearing more about that as well. But when you see those applications come through, if you are a teacher or, again, a pre-service teacher, there are different opportunities for you there. And as far as project-based learning, a lot of us in our school districts, in our in Wisconsin, we have CESAs around the state, which are groups of school districts, come together to teach and learn about the project-based learning components. There are some fabulous books out there that you can read that have fabulous insight and information. I can probably pull together some of those and get them to you, Ellen, so we could do a follow-up post of those things, too.
Yeah, I'd agree. There's, you know, the Internet is certainly your friend, and if you do some critical thinking and critical reading, it doesn't take long to find some really great sources on there to of either A, teachers, bloggers, or folks that are in the educational world but are project-based learning experts or inquiry-based experts or that sort of thing.
Okay, next question. Hi, we're down to the wire here, folks. 4 minutes. What do we do? Okay. Here's a quick question I think you can answer. Would you suggest attending, this person is going to student teach in a small school, would you suggest attending some of the sporting events or fair clinics to help develop personal relationship with students? Or is that overstepping the boundaries of friend versus friendly?
Nope, you know, I check with your student cooperating teacher, you know, and see what they say. You know, we do the Iowa State Fair event, you know, Animal Learning Center, and it's over 12 days, and, you know, we're always looking for help, and it's always a great thing. And so I would say, yeah, if there's a great opportunity there and the cooperating teacher thinks it's a good idea, then I certainly would spend some time doing that.
Okay, next question. What materials or things would you highly suggest a student teacher to get prior to student teaching experience? As in, like, are there certain books, computer programs? What do you think?
Other than the stuff I mentioned earlier and just being read up and more knowledgeable on different educational topics, I'd say you're good. Now, if you have a computer, sometimes that's pretty helpful. Again, may depend on the school. They may give you a computer, depending on what kind of environment you walk into.
And a really good planner, because you're going to need to write down all those obligations.
Okay, let's see. Oh, here's a good one. What professional associations or organizations would you suggest membership to for pre-service teachers? I did not plant this question. It's from a real person.
I would certainly do the student membership to the National Ag Teachers Association.
And your state association. And it's also worth investigating the National Science Teachers Association as well. Those would be my top three.
Okay, let's see these. Okay, do you think it's for student teachers to have a strong professional resume prior to student teaching? Meaning, should they have been involved in sororities, fraternities, civic involvement, agricultural-related internships, Teach Ag ambassadors, FFA collegiate ambassadors?
I think all of those things are wonderful and marvelous, and you will gain valuable learning and teaching tools from every single one of those. However, in my world, it's not a mandatory thing, because maybe you had life circumstances that intervened and you couldn't participate in those things. You're going to have more limited stories, if you will, to draw upon as you're teaching, but it doesn't necessarily define the quality of educator you will be because you had limited experiences in that way.
Yeah, I would agree. There's no magic formula to having successful experiences. Every experience you have can help in the classroom. It's just the biggest factors are, you know, again, how do you get along with students, and are you empathetic, and are you willing to help out kids? I mean, that's what is more important to me at the stage of teaching.
Okay, so I know it's time, but we're going to do two final questions that I know you can answer quickly. This person is from Montana, small town. How do you start networking with advisors to start opening doors for a student teacher position?
I would say just figure out what kind of experience you're looking for, whether it's an urban school or a rural school or that type of thing. And then I would say just being forward enough to call them up or email them and say, hey, I'd love to come visit you, and go visit for a day. And I like it when student teachers, you know, ask me, hey, I'd love to come talk with you about teaching ag. Funny thing is, ag teachers like to talk about teaching ag.
I echo those sentiments. And you know what? That will be a feather in your cap because you potentially stepped out of your comfort zone to do that. But I think the relationship that you can form with that other educator is going to be a potential mentorship relationship that lasts long into your teaching career. So I encourage you definitely to do that. And I hope that anyone on this call knows that if you reached out to me, I would be happy to visit with you about this very challenging yet rewarding career.
Okay, and the final question, it's not the final question, but it's the final question we'll take for today. So this person is currently a student teaching and they're training a CDE team, but then they're going to leave before the team competes. So they don't want to leave the students high and dry, so to speak. How can I stay engaged after I'm gone? Have you had student teachers in a similar position?
Yes, and we need you because we have other teams that we're working with. So we're going to count on you to keep on keeping on with those kids. And the success that you'll see from, again, that relationship that you've developed in teaching those kids, that's fantastic. And I know certainly sometimes it's distance, sometimes it's, you know, a different job situation that comes to you after student teaching, but certainly we have modern technology as ways of engaging still and potentially working with those kids. So I would love it if you were working with my team and continued on.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And I would say just, you know, talk with your student or your cooperating teacher and see what they want to do. Maybe, you know, I'm sure they would love to have you stick around. So.
Okay, well, as we wrap up, we're just a few minutes over, but that's okay. There were fantastic questions and obviously a topic that's very useful, so I'm sure this will not be the last that we will offer opportunities like this. A couple of things as we close out. This webinar will be archived on the TCHAG website under the page there. You can go there and find all of the information with the presenter contact info and all of that. All of you will receive, that have attended and signed up and registered, you will receive a certificate sometime in the next week that says that you attended this webinar, so you can put that in your professional portfolio if you would like, so that way that you have that as an experience and can add to your overall. And as I said, this is the beginning of a series of things that we will be doing. Our next webinar will be in December, and then the topic will be on internships, and watch your email, watch the TCHAG, tag the TCHAG Times, Monday Morning Monitor, our social media, communities of practice for announcements on specifically when that webinar will take place, time and date and presenters and all of that. I cannot thank Mr. Matthew Eddy and Ms. Rachel Salvola enough. I am very excited because I get to see both of them again next week when we all go to New Orleans. That's one of the great things about being an agriculture teacher, is you sometimes get to go to some pretty cool places and become friends with some pretty amazing people. So with that, the National TCHAG campaign is here to assist you as you develop yourself as a future professional. If there's anything that we can do to be of assistance, continue to let us know, including topics that you want covered in the future. A big thank you to Olivia and Nick as our TCHAG host for today, and we'll look forward to seeing all of you in the profession very soon. Thanks again, Matt and Rachel.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
See you next week.
Yep.
Okay.